426, that song from God. God will lead us along. Praise the Lord. We got to send a check to the Episcopal Church to ring in the bells again, Chuck. I don't know whatever we did for anything. You know, as a pastor, there's so many things to learn every day and the things to do and things you miss doing and you neglect, not because you want to, but I neglected to let Marilyn know in the bulletin this week that we were going to do Amazing Grace for them. And I neglected to let Marilyn know we're going to sing America the Beautiful for the anthem. See, I got to work on that, Chuck. See, we all got things to work on. Amen. Let me tell you one thing before we say the prayer about being a pastor. And it's in my heart. I want you to understand the difference. Not that you don't care about other, but there's one of the Beatitudes that says, blessed be the peacemakers. And as a pastor, and it's been all my life, my friends could tell you, my wife would tell you, I'm a peacemaker. I don't care if I was wronged. I don't care if whatever, how little or how big the situation in our church, in our family, in my home, my children, my friends. If something happens and it's not right, you know what I'm saying? If you're not at peace, I can't sleep. It bothers me so much that my brain will just explode with things. Say, Lord, because I cannot stand one up. I can't deal. And that's what separates, I think, sometimes what a pastor is to his church. I'm the pastor of this church. If I fail, you fail. If this church fails, you all go to another church. I fail. And so, blessed be the peacemaker. I claim that, but it's not anything that you want to claim unless you're ready. Because, and I know there's people here that there were little upsets. And it bothered me so bad that I just, even though other people, well, that was nothing, was taken care of, and I'm thinking in my heart, no, it wasn't. Because I don't feel like it. And every time, you just so understand where your pastor's coming from. Anytime we have a disagreement, anytime, even if I'm right and everybody else is wrong, which never happens, you know what I'm saying? I'm not claiming to be right about anything. I'm just saying, according to the Word of God, this is a church we're building, amen? And there's only one thing that matters. It's Jesus and me teaching you the Word of God. And But the things of the church get in my heart so bad, Pat, that I just can't let it settle until I know that we're okay again. And if I have to say the sorry, or if I have to say, I'll do it every time, because it's what God calls us all to do. Like the Amazing Grace is pretty serious. But I just wanted you to understand the heart of a pastor is so much more than the heart of a club or whatever we're doing. My heart is that every one of us feels as important as the other people. Every one of us feels like they're doing something for the church. Every one of us feels like the need to do something for their church. Amen? And I just wanted you to understand where the heart of a pastor comes from. I love you all so much. And I can't handle, that's a bad word, but I face any issue with the same, it wouldn't matter little or small, because that's in my heart to do. And I just want you to understand that. That's what this church is going to be successful about, because we're going to be a family, amen? We're going to have unity, amen? If we're going to have unity, that's all I'm going to do is stress that, because I love you all. And I know you love everybody, amen? So we have to rise above. So thank you. Give God praise, would you, church? Now, I hate to ask you, but everybody stand up, please. Thank you, Lord. I know it's Sunday, it's morning, and now you got to stand up. We're going to recite the prayer that our Lord and Savior Jesus gave us. Together with me, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Give them praise, church. Let this church ring. Hallelujah. We're going to do the responsive reading. Psalm 86 with me this morning. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Praise the Lord. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call up on you. Yes, Lord. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Thank you, Lord. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Hallelujah. You just read the Word of God. People say, I can't read the Bible. You just read the Bible. Sounds like you understood that pretty good. Amen? Thank you, Lord. When you get to a place that you're so smart that you know everything, a.k.a. a Bible scholar, then God can't do anything with you. Amen? When you get to a place in your life when you think you know everything about everything, God can't do anything with you. Are you with me? But if you get to a place you're willing to listen and learn and surrender, say that with me, surrender, then God can and will use you. He will move you and lift you to places above your dreams. You, your family, and your friends. That is how God changes the world. People say, God can't do it. I say, that's a lie. That's a lie from Satan himself. Are you with me? I believe God can do it. I believe God can do it. I believe the answer is in here. For everything that's happening in the world, I believe it. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. We saw people last night on TV talking about how they want to run the country. Doesn't matter where you're from. I listen to them. I listen to the other people. What they're going to do about the evil that exists. The evil that exists. The evil, the fighting. And they're all saying, we're going to destroy this. We're going to destroy that. And I said, that's good. That's what politicians do. And military. The military, that's what they do. They make the toys to play with, to destroy people. The bigger people, destroying. That's what the military does. God says, the battle is mine. I didn't hear anybody say, the battle is the Lord's. We need to stand on solid ground. Amen? And I tell you, I believe that the answer is in this book. Do you believe it? I believe the answer. I believe we don't have to go to war and destroy people and destroy everything if we do it the way God says to do it. We have to stand. We have to be firm. There will be times when we have to act. Amen? But God says the battle is His. And I hear people say, we can't change an ideology. Those people have an ideology. They say, we're not trying to. We don't need to change an ideology. Amen? It's just like trying to change somebody who's a Republican to a Democrat. Let me tell you, it's not going to happen. Amen? I talked to a man last Sunday who I just love. A man who's given his life to children. A wonderful man. And he talked to me about somebody in politics. And I just was astonished by what he said. You know what, Greg? He said, he was so opposite me. Talking about, and I'm thinking, how does he feel that way? And I couldn't change him, nor I learned not even to try. I can't make a Red Sox fan, Jack, I can't make a Red Sox fan be a Yankee fan. I can't do it. The Bible said, oh, we can't change ideology. The Bible says how to do it. We don't change anybody, amen? Remember the story of Queen Sheba. Everybody remember the queen? Who was Queen Sheba? She had everything, Jim. The wealthy. She had jewels. She had money. She had everything. People at her feet worshiping her. She was the Queen of Sheba. And she heard about this guy named Solomon who loved God. Who did he love? God. Oh, he loved God. He's got a lot of stuff over. He's a smart man. Yeah, I'm the Queen of Sheba. I got everything. He's not so smart. We'll get some ships together. Come on, we'll get some ships and we'll fill them up with good stuff and we'll bring them and we'll show them how good we are. She had all this pride. Amen? Pride. She had pride in what she had, who she was. So she gets all her ships together and she's going to bring it to Solomon. So look what we got. And she got there. Amen? And she saw with her eyes Solomon. She saw people loving Solomon. She saw the cupbearers. She saw the maidservants happy, loving him freely, openly, not made to, not ordered to. People who wanted to do for other people. People who wanted to serve other people with joy. How happy even the cupbearer was. Even the maidservant. And then she saw what God had given Solomon. the riches, the gold. He didn't ask for it. Amen? God said, I will bless you beyond because you asked for wisdom. But God said, you ask, I will bless you. And he had more gold and silver and more trinkets and jewelry. He had everything more than anybody else. And she saw that. She saw everything. And she looked at the few things that she brought. In fact, the Bible says she actually went home with more than she brought. Amen? That Solomon blessed her and said, yeah, you. And the Bible said this. The spirit left her. Gene, that means her spirit. That means her pride was gone. Amen? Did Solomon change her ideology? No. Did Solomon change what she liked and didn't like? No. Her spirit was gone because she saw what God does for his people. Amen? She saw that and her spirit left her. She had no more pride. She went home. There's nothing left in this book about him, about her. Amen? Nothing. Why? Because she was humbled. The battle was won by who? How many guns were fired? None. And then I told you about, okay, that's the Bible. Let me tell you real life. Remember I told you about Red Cloud, my brother James. Red Cloud, one of the most famous Sioux chiefs of all history. You can look up the history. This was only 150 years ago. A Sioux chief, an Indian warrior, the biggest chief of the Lakota tribe. Fought battles, fought other Indian tribes. He was the leader. Everybody looked up to him. This is with Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, Cochise, all of them. It was Red Cloud that everybody went to. And Red Cloud, the Indian chief, the Sioux warrior, came to Washington, D.C. And they said, come here, I want to show you something. And they took him down. And they showed him the howitzers. Thousands of guns. Guns. Warriors, they showed him the soldiers. They showed him everything, the artillery, the power. And he looked at that and turned around and he went back home. And the Indian brave said, Greg, he saw too much. His spirit was gone. He was still a Lakota chief. He was still a proud man. We didn't change their ideology, amen? But he went home. His spirit gone because he saw too much. How many guns were fired? None. How many people died? None. Who won the battle? God won the battle. We got this enemy. They got all kinds of names. And you hear a lot of these politicians, and that's what they do. Whatever you like, they all say, we're going to do this, this, that, and the other. We're going to do this. And the Bible says there's only one thing we need to do. The battle is whose? And I tell you this. Amen. The Bible tells us how to do this. All the world has to do is the way the Bible tells us to do is to stand up. We're not going to change ideology, amen? The world stand up together. Stand up in one and circle all those people and say enough is enough. You can be anything you want to be. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can say and do whatever you want, but enough is enough. The world gets together. Instead of trying to talk about how bad we're going to crush them, the world gets together and surrounds them. Every country who says that is wrong stands up together and does it the way God says to do it and stands and circles them and says to them, enough is enough. And let them see the planes flying over. Don't have to drop any bombs. Amen? Let them see hundreds of planes every day. Let them see the power of the world, and their spirit will lead them. They'll still have the ideology, but they'll realize maybe we better not put our head out of the hole. And who would win the battle? How many people would have to die? See, God's way and there's man's way. I believe this book. I believe the answer to those questions are in this book. Nobody said that last night. Nobody said that we need to just stand strong and circle them and stop them. They said, this person has to do this, this person has to do that. I say, God's got it right here. Every nation in this country, every nation with good people, every religion of good people need to stand up and just say, hey, we need to stop. Remember David and Goliath. What was he? He was a bully. Amen? Who are these people? They're bullies. We're not going to beat them into submission. We're not going to change their ideology. We have to make them see too much. Amen? That's our prayer. God can. God will. We need to stand, Lord. We need to stand in our lives when we face trouble. We need to stand in our lives when we face disagreements. We need to stand in our lives when we face the sicknesses, because you will. We need to stand in faith. We need to become one as a family. And when one is sick, we lift him all up. When one is weak, we lift him all up, because we're only as strong as the weakest link. We need to do it your way. Your way. Healing lands. Healing lands. Healing people's hearts and minds. That will change the neighbor. Amazing grace. We need to give it to those people. We need to let them receive it and see how it feels. And when they feel it, they'll have to give it to somebody else. We have to remove the anger. We have to stop people from preaching anger and preaching people being get revenge. Because that's not God's way. Yeah, God said the battle is mine. And you might think sometimes it's hard to surrender. Surrender what I want to do. But when you give it to God, and you see his hand in it, and you see that things are going that way, you surrender more, because you say, boy, I'm going to get out of God's way. I trust God. I trust God. I trust this book. My pastor's been telling me the answer is in this book. I believe it. I'm not embarrassed to tell you. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I'm not a Bible scholar. I love this book. I love what it says. I believe what it says. I take it to my heart. I know it'll heal our marriage every day. It'll heal our children every day. Dominic and Nellie, I know your daughter's going to be strong because you've given her foundation. And I know you worry about her because she's in Pittsburgh. And I know you worry about her scores and her. But you got to surrender. You got to say the battle is God's. You've done your part. Don't get in God's way. You just be the parent you are. That's the blessing. And God will succeed. Amen. God will take you places you never thought possible. He will raise you to places you never thought possible. He will, listen to me, heal your body. Can I get an amen? He said that. I will heal your body. I'm not embarrassed to tell you, he heals bodies today. It might be as simple as changing a diet. It might be as simple as drinking water more every day. It might be as simple as just going to somebody and say, look, I got all these things I'm taking and nothing's getting any better. Then you need to stop. I never tell nobody to go, don't do me like me about the doctors. We all need the doctors. Praise God for doctors. But when you go to one and another and they give you this and they give you this and they give you this and nothing's getting better, you say, what am I doing? Then you get on your knees and say, Lord, show me. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Don't be afraid to go to the doctor and the pharmacist and say, look, I need your help. I got all this stuff and it ain't working. Let's start from the beginning. Let's start and I'll get on my knees and pray. God will show me a way. He has never failed me in 63 years and almost 64 years of my life. He has never once failed me. In the places I've been, in the dirt that I took him when I was a young man, and the places I took him when I was a young man, he never failed me. When I wanted to do things that I know were against God, sometimes he put a wall in front of me and I couldn't get through it no matter how hard I tried. And there were days I tried. And then when I started to realize that he really did carry me through, there was nothing left except more of him in my life. More of him in my decisions. More of him controlling my tongue. More of him controlling my heart. And then things around me will change. He's got the answer. He's got the answer for the evils you see in the world. We need to stand. We need to stand and let God show them too much. Amen? I can never make a Red Sox fan be a Yankee fan. And I can't do it. But I can bring them to the place where we can have a good time together. And we can love one another together. I couldn't change that guy's mind last Sunday, no matter how hard I tried. And believe me, I wanted to try. But it's crazy. And I went home thinking, this is exactly right. People feel how they feel. I just want them to see God. When they see God, I know they'll make the right decisions. Give him praise, church. Thank you. Thank you. Politicians do what politicians do. They make laws. Amen. They make laws. They make laws to do what? To protect us. Amen. They make laws to keep us safe. Recently, they made a law against hate. They said it's against the law to hate now. So if you do a crime and you hate the person, how do you not hate somebody when you do a crime against them? I don't know. But they made a law against hate. Something happens, they want to make another law. Something terrible happens, they want to make a law to take care of evil. They're going to control evil with law. And that's what they do. That's what they do. I'm not saying good or bad. Please, I'm not judging them. There was somebody else here one time that made laws. 10 of them. All that. We got law books. How big? Anybody here a lawyer? How big is the law book? They're filled with laws. And we got some politicians who don't follow the law because they don't feel like they want to follow that law. And that's what they do. God gave us how many?
10.
Imagine if he came back tomorrow and said, oh yeah, I got 4 more laws for you. Why did Jesus come? Because we couldn't keep 10. Are you with me? Well, we got to protect from evil. There's a law against murder. God, right here. Do not murder. Amen? God made that law. How's it working? Law against stealing. God made that law. How's that working? Covet thy neighbor's goods, thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's property. The Bible says, in the Bible in Exodus, it says, covet thy neighbor's ox and donkey and their cattle. How's that working? He made laws. God made these laws. We didn't need more than 10. Amen? Don't believe that other movie where there was 15 and he dropped one of the tablets. Don't believe you ever saw that movie. Remember that? Mel Brooks movie? Never saw that. Where he's got 3 tablets and he dropped one. Thank you, Lord. And then Jesus came. What would God do, right? He came. We couldn't keep the 10, so we're in trouble now, Joanne. He's going to add about a dozen now. What did he do? He went from 10 to how many?
2.
2. Sorry. First, you shall have no other God before me. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the first. Love God. Love Him. More than you love anything else. Your wife, your children, your grandchildren. My little granddaughter got upset one day when she thought that we loved God more than we loved her, and we had to explain to her, God gave us you. We have to love the giver. We have to love the giver of the gifts. So God came down and went to the first commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and your mind, with all your strength. And they said, there's another one, a little one, Sergio. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Oops. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. This guy's pretty smart, right, Dale? We read the Lord's Prayer before. It's really, everybody likes that prayer. Father, wort in heaven, hallowed be on earth, thy kingdom come. Until you get to that one line he put in there too. Isn't he kind of clever? Forgive us our trespasses. We have to do something now. As what?
We forget those trespasses.
Oops. Thank you, Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Praise. Blessings that they get there and find out all as well. Thank you, Lord. Well, I can teach you, I can preach to you about praise. But until you break through your brain, your comfort zone, will you understand how praise sets you free? How when you stand up and praise God, all of a sudden it sets you free. Your spirit is free. You start to soar. You become a new person. Isn't that what we're supposed to do with God? Become a new person. I can teach you that, but until you do it, I can teach you about tithing. You know, we don't mention tithing in the church. This is a free will offering church, Gail. We believe that giving between you and God, we have a box in the front and you put your offering in. We don't preach about it too much. So people say, well, but until you learn that God does give back pressed down, shaking together. When you put $10 in there and it's for God, and then all of a sudden 2 weeks later you realize that you got finances from some place you didn't expect, or something happened in your life, or you got a new job, or a blessing's coming to you, you realize, I cannot give God, but I sure want to try. That changes you, amen? You learn to trust. When you get it, and I always say, and I had a pastor, at my other, a reverend at the other church says, when you know that you know, your life has changed. Sergio, when you know that you know, when you truly know, everything else isn't going to matter anymore. The distractions of the world isn't going to matter anymore. You don't have a job today, it doesn't matter anymore. You're going to get one tomorrow, God's going to give you one. You're looking for a mate, doesn't matter anymore, God's got one for you. You got trouble at home, and you know that God's in control, you put him in control, it won't matter anymore, you make up. Amen? And you're stronger, amen? When you know that you know, and we have people in this church who have been through that, who have been in the valley, who have gotten to a place where they were afraid. How many have ever been afraid? Amen. Don't be saying you're not, because then you'd be lying to God. In just a couple of weeks, Dave is going to walk through that door. You talk about a valley. They could say to Dave now that they're going to drop an atomic bomb in Bridgeport. He'd say, I don't care, God's with me. He's going to be at a point in his life for the rest of his life will be joy, unspeakable joy, because he will know that nothing that comes against him will prosper. And his relationship with Cindy will have grown to places they didn't understand before. They loved each other, or we love each other, but not like now. Amen? When you love God like that, like I love him, like my wife loves him, things in your life change. And you got to hear it here. The preachers have got to be doing what? Preaching the what?
Word.
The Word of God. Preaching it. Not forcing you to obey. Not forcing you to obey rules and regulations. Because I ask you, even God gave us laws. How did that work out? It didn't work out. So the government makes more laws, and how does that work out? Amen? We don't need laws with God. We need to love him. And when you love him, you don't wait for somebody to pick up something on the floor or come. You pick it up because it's God's house. You don't wait for something outside to get done. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to do that, and it doesn't get. You don't wait. You don't ask anybody. You go and do it. Why? Because your love. Because it's your love to do it. Because you want God's house to shine. Because whose house is it now? Your house. Amen? You don't wait for somebody to tell, we need law, we need to have this. And do it. No, it's already done. Why? Because people love God. They love this church. This is your church now, Sergio. This is your church. What happens outside is your church. And it reflects you. And you want it to shine. So nobody tells you that you have to clean up or do anything. You say, of course I want. Just like at your home. Nobody tells you that you have to sweep the floor. Amen? You do it because it's your home. And you have pride. This is your house now. So if we made laws that say you have to this, that wouldn't work. Bless his heart. We had somebody, and his heart is right. I don't want to, he loves God. We prayed for him. He was here long before, long time ago, and he lost his job. We prayed for him to get a job. We said, you know, we know, and he got a job, and he said, well, I got a job, but I can't come to church on Sunday. Okay, did that really come from God, or was he just wanting to see your dedication and devotion? I don't know. But I would think that would be the first thing. That if we got a call to go play somewhere and we couldn't be here on Sunday, oh, the job pays $1,000, I'd say, no, that's not where we're going. But I trust God. And we got here, or they were going to, you know, everybody did, well, we're going to take care of the grass, and he was too busy. And they're going to take care of the flowers in the front. His heart was right, amen, but he was too busy. We'd come to church, there'd be no, and all of a sudden one day somebody said, I want to put flowers in there. Nobody asked him to, they did it. Somebody said, I want to make the garden out here, I want to make flowers, I want to put cactuses, I want to put all kinds of designs out there and beautiful things. Nobody asked him to, they did it. Why? Because they love this church, amen? So we don't need to make laws. I don't need to teach you and hound you about tithing. I don't need to hound you about praise. You need to understand it. And when you understand it, you will never stop. Are you with me? Everything is meaningless without the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I will say, whatever brings you to the love and knowledge of God, when you know that you know, is when your life changes forever. When you hear the word and simply believe the word. When your heart surrenders and all you want to do is please the Lord, laws are no longer needed. When you make this your house, as the house you live in, then miracles happen. Say that with me. Miracles happen. I believe in miracles. Whoever desires to come after me, this is in Mark, Dominic, Mark 8:34. He called the people to himself with his disciples also. He said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That means remove yourself. Get out of your mind, your own understanding. You don't know anything. I said, deny yourself and take up his cross and follow me, he said. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You see that every day with people with so much money. You think they would be happy millionaires on TV. And all you hear about is their troubles and tribulations. More troubles. Their marriage fails. Their life fails. They're taking drugs. They're doing all sorts of things. You think that they would be the happiest people on TV, but when you see them, they're the most upset people. Why? There's no peace. Amen? The Bible says, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. It's just saying, you give up your opinions and give it to God. Surrender and you will save your life. It will change you from the inside out. People will see that. You will draw people to you. Hallelujah. What profit a man? What will it profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a great question. What would you give if you knew that you just lost it? What would you give to regain it? I believe everything that you have. And listen to what Jesus says, these three lines. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Thank you, Lord. I am on overload today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Anybody here? You shall be filled. Nancy, God bless you for raising your hand, for telling God that you're hungry for that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Gary, that doesn't mean you have to be a weak man. But meek means humble. Humble. Thanking God for everything he's blessed you with because he's got more. But first he wants to see the thanksgiving. He wants to hear your heart say thank you. He wants to know you understand that he has more for you. So becoming meek doesn't mean you have to become weak, George. It doesn't mean that you have to be weak. It means, in fact, being meek is actually having to be stronger, Sergio. You have to be stronger to give up what you think and just become humble in the sight of God, letting God lift you up. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who doesn't want that? What does it say? Does it say, blessed are the angry, for they shall receive what they want? No. Blessed are those who want revenge, for they shall receive that? No, does it? Doesn't say anything like that. The Bible says that God said vengeance is his. Amen? So anytime anybody preaches or talks about God and says, I want mine, they're out of the word of God. Amen? They're out of the will of God. Remember that. We're going to talk about that next week. We need to preach God. It will heal the inner cities. Remember I told you about God in the battles against ideology? God can heal the inner cities too, but we need more people in church on Sunday preaching healing. Amen? Healing. Healing. Hallelujah. And blessed again are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I ask you today, is that you? If not, ask God to help you. Help you. Before you leave today, please don't leave until my wife get out back there. Because we have for you today dove pins. We have these beautiful little pins. They're doves. You are the sheep He is God. Let him rest on your shoulder, on your lapel, on your book. But when you see these dove pins, I want you to be remembered that you're the sheep and he's God. And you say, God can land on my shoulder because I love him. God can land on my shoulder because I love him and I accept him in my life. And people say, what's that? He says, that's God on my shoulder because I am one of his sheep and I follow him. Give him praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave without the pins, please. We'll pass them out after the service. America the Beautiful. It's my favorite time of the show, folks, when my bride gets to sing up here with Joanne and I get to sit down there and watch her. Coffee Social in 2 weeks. I want to remind everybody, don't forget to bring a dish if you can. We're all going to ask again to have everybody bring something. I know this will be the first one this year. And I just wanted to ask you again if you could bring a dish for our coffee social. Also, Bill Kohler is going to be doing the music downstairs. And we're blessed. Everything is, Gary and I are always saying, Gary says the church is being blessed. And we're delegating and we're letting out, letting other people have a part of it. Amen. Bill's going to do some of the music and then we're all going to sing. Jack and Gail, we have open mic at the coffee social. After a while, everybody gets up and sings a song or two. Even George Marsh gets up and sings. So that's in 2 weeks. I just wanted to let you know that. Let's do the Lord's Supper. Amen. Who's worthy? Everybody who loves the Son, who accepts the Son into their heart, accepts them into their mind, takes them in, and believes He did for us. In Jesus' name. This is a memorial to our Lord and Savior in remembrance of Him. Simply the way the Bible told us to do it, as He took the bread, blessed and broke it, told His disciples, "This is my body being torn for you." Even though they didn't understand what He was saying, He passed it and said, "Please eat and do this in remembrance of me." But we know what He did. Simply remembrance and accepting Jesus for what He did. Say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today is the day the Lord has given us. Today is the day the Lord has blessed us with. The Lord has made it for us today. Rejoice. Accept Jesus this morning. Say, thank you, Lord." Simply all it takes right now is just thank you, Lord. God has a plan for your life, for your business, for your family, for your children. He has a plan for your future. The Bible says, "Delight in Him and He will give you the desires of your heart." So whatever are the things in your heart, the deepest things that you want to become, the things you want to do, He will help you. He will lift you. He will open doors. He will bring you places you never thought possible. Never, you might not even thought it now, but God knows how to bless people. He's not out of the blessing business yet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you failed yesterday, stand up and take it back to you and today. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I failed yesterday, Lord. Help me today. Help me today, Lord. I failed yesterday, but help me today. Stand me up again, Lord. I'm going to try again." Keep standing and keep trying. Thank you, Lord. Good job. The Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. It's simply a memorial remembering what Jesus did for us until the day He returns. And He asks that we do this in remembrance of Him in Jesus' name. Are you embarrassed to say that your sins have been forgiven? Are you embarrassed to tell people, "I'm going to heaven"? You betcha I am. I'm going. I know that I'm going. Are you embarrassed to tell? I'm not. I'm not at all. And not at all. When He took the wine, poured it into a cup, and He said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins, according to the book of Matthew." That was good enough for me to do this in remembrance of Him. This is simply grape juice that we're passing around because it's in remembrance of something. We don't have to redo it. We don't have to recapture it. We don't have to make it anything more than it is. You saying thank you to Jesus. Saying, Lord, forgive me for the things I did yesterday. Stand me up today, Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender, Lord. His way isn't easy because it takes you... It isn't easy because it takes you out of the situation and you want to help him. You want to help him. You want to do something. And God is saying, no, it's my battle. I'm helping. I'm going to do it. That's the hard part. When you've done all you can do, the Bible says to stand. Stand and know that he is God. But this church is being built on God. The word of God that changes lives. Makes a house a home. Makes a gathering a family. A family in Christ. That's the difference. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have brothers and sisters in this church that are waiting for a miracle. Waiting for a miracle today. We need to pray with them that they receive it today. Brothers and sisters in this church whose life depends on a miracle. But they come every Sunday and they love you and they love us and they love God. We need to pray that they receive that miracle today. Not embarrassed to ask. I'm not embarrassed to believe. I'm not ashamed of my God. I believe for that miracle today. Thank you, Lord. I believe that God has an answer for everything in this world that we face. His way isn't the way man would see it. Men just have to get out of the way and let God. I believe it. I believe that word tells us. I believe for your business, Deacon Chuck. I believe that it will be successful. I believe for you. God has a plan. He would have never done everything he did if he didn't have a plan for us today. So we do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.